You're listening to Up an Octave, a podcast by Sonivia, the podcasting agency that believes that women and non-binary people deserve to take up space in the podcasting industry because our thoughts, voices, and stories matter. Here you'll learn how to make dope podcasts that inspire, educate, convert, and most importantly, make your voice shine. I'm your host, Rue Spence, and I'm here to take podcasting up an octave. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome back to Up an Octave. I am so excited about this episode and we're going to get into it in just a minute. But first, I have to tell you about something really freaking exciting. I have got a 4-day boot camp called Podcast Paradise coming up April 15th through 18th, all virtual, and it is going to be seriously magical. I'm going to be helping brand new and seasoned podcasters alike gear up for a summer like never before. Oh, and did I mention that it's free? I'll tell you more about it later, but save your spot at bit.ly/podcastparadise, which you can also find the link in your show notes. All right, now we're on to today's episode, where we are talking about audience interaction. This is so powerful for your podcast because it helps people feel involved, and then they want to share and buy, and it helps you know exactly what your listeners want. So I'm super jazzed that this is the episode that we are covering today because I actually used audience interaction to pick this topic. So it's full circle, totally a kismet moment. So how I did that was if you follow me on Instagram at Sonivia Studios, then you maybe even saw or contributed, hey girl, to this poll where I gave 4 different options for upcoming episodes that I wanted to cover and just said, hey, pick the next episode. And I got some amazing feedback. If this was not the episode that you picked, don't worry, the other ones are coming really soon. But, you know, it was just so funny to me that it's like, here's an option for getting involved. And everyone picked getting involved. Like, I just think that that is so funny and so perfect. So before I share some of the ways that I really like getting some audience interaction, I want to highlight some of the powerhouse shows that I work with and how they get their audiences involved, because I work with some truly innovative and just lovely humans, and I want to talk about what I think they do really, really well. So first up, I want to highlight Shelby Forsythia over at Dear Grief Guide. She has listeners submit questions, which is similar to the listener question segment that I have, but it's much more in like a Dear Sugar or like Dear Abby, if you're super old school, format, where she has people write in letters about how they're coping with their own grief experiences, issues that they're having in coping, and then she provides her insights as a grief coach or grief guide. And this is wonderful because it really gets into the hearts and heads of the people that she serves. Shelby has the Life After Loss Academy, which is an online program that supports grieving people. And she's able to consistently fine-tune her offerings because of the types of letters that she's getting. If she notices a trend in a particular type of issue or something that is really on the hearts of the grieving people that she's interacting with on her podcast, she can, in real time, make adjustments to better serve the people in her community. I think that that is so incredible to consider depending on the way that your podcast functions. If you are using your podcast to funnel into anything, any offering, any membership, any course, anything like that, being able to stay with kind of the boots on the ground with the people who are consuming your content is so incredibly helpful to make sure that you are actually giving them something that's valuable to them. I also want to highlight Thoughts from a Page because at the end of the year, Cindy has her listeners actually send in audio clips of them talking about what their favorite book that they read that year was. And those are always super fun because it allows the listener to become the podcaster. People get to hear their own voice on the podcast. While it can be a little cringy for people who aren't familiar with hearing their own voice, heck, it can even be cringy for us podcasters. It does, in just that little tiny micro snip, feel like I don't know, when you see yourself in the background on the news or something. It's just that little like, oh, hey, that's me, without having a lot of skin in the game to really like criticize how you sound. And that's always fun. And it always makes people want to share that episode because it's like that, you know, hey, I'm on this podcast. It's really engaging in a different way. So I love that segment. And then finally, I also want to highlight Aaron and Megan at My Skeptical Sister, who have listeners write in their stories. So all of the paranormal stories that they read on the podcast actually come from their listener base. And that's also a super fun and really intimate way to get your audience involved. And I think that a lot of these can be implemented on different types of shows too. You know, we mentioned with Dear Grief Guide, that's obviously people who are looking for advice, but that also works really similarly for my show with, you know, having listeners write in questions, getting your expert advice. This type of interaction works so well for funnel podcasts. So if you're looking to funnel any kind of buyers, subscribers, whatever that is, from your podcast to your business, having the opportunity to answer questions from listeners really goes the extra mile to cement you as an authority in your niche. And as far as having, you know, people call in, I guess is how you could think of it, that works with a lot of different shows too. That works so well for fandom shows where, you know, people are able to just say like, oh, hey, this is my favorite thing, or I loved this experience. And it just allows people a quick little moment to feel like the hype person. And then, you know, with the listener stories, it's kind of the same idea. It's just spun a little bit differently. And something else that I did not mention about My Skeptical Sister is that every episode, they also have what they call a fan favorite. And that is a listener who is a faithful listener, who's always kind of hanging out in their Facebook group. And it's an opportunity for that person to talk about what they've got going on. So whether that's a new Etsy shop or just an organization that they volunteer with that they're really passionate about in their community, that's also such a bang-up way to get your audience involved and feeling like they have some sweat equity in the podcast as well. If you're not looking to like entirely dedicate a part of your episodes to having that engagement, if that feels overwhelming or just doesn't feel like it's the right fit for you, you can also take to socials. Like I mentioned, with even generating the concept for this episode itself, I really love just hopping on your Instagram stories and doing polls. Like I said, that's exactly how this came up for me. And the nice thing about polls is that you get to kind of determine the answer. You know, you're putting up three or four options that you are already really excited to talk about and just letting your audience pick the top one that they want or kind of the order. Like I said, the ones that did not make number one for me are still coming up because they're topics I'm really passionate about. And I was also able to get the like visual confirmation that I do have members of my audience who are interested in hearing those topics as well. This was just the most popular one. But it's nice because you get to retain control. You know, you're not going to get something coming completely out of left field, but it lets people have some skin in the game. Something else that works really well for polls that I see some shows doing is allowing especially Patreon subscribers, but honestly, this can work for any of your consumers, letting them pick the title. This is something that I often see like Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet doing within their Patreon community. And this is somewhere else that's fun because, you know, you can come up with a couple options. And so letting your, you know, Patreon community select your episode title is so much fun. And again, I mean, you're picking it, right? You have options that you are comfortable with. And you're just letting your audience have a little bit of investment. And it makes them feel like they have participated in the show. Which again, when we are talking so much about the parasocial relationship and cultivating that with your audience, being able to do that by giving people some actual participation is huge. It changes the dynamic between you as the podcaster and your audience as the consumer into something that feels a little bit more like an exchange. Something else that I really love doing that you may have seen in my Instagram stories is an Ask Me Anything or an AMA. And you can do that just by doing like the question box on Instagram stories and then just putting, you know, ask me anything about insert your niche here. And that works so well when you are starting to feel like you have no clue what you're talking about, because it's crowdsourcing. You are getting the information about what your audience is truly interested in straight from the horse's mouth. Doing the Ask Me Anything helps you, again, get a pulse on your audience, kind of like the listener questions, but it also provides a new way for you to think about your content. You know, when you are not even necessarily having to like provide an answer as your whole episode, like for Shelby Forsythia, she puts so much work into considering how she wants to support that listener. Whereas if it's just, you know, an Instagram thing, you can be kind of casual. I got some great questions from Molly Rocklin over at I'm Glad You're Here. Her show just started. It's awesome. Go check her out. She asked me so many fabulous questions on my last AMA that I had not considered as being things that my audience was curious about. And I think sometimes we get into a little bit of an echo chamber when we are niche experts that you almost forget what your consumers don't know. You almost take for granted that you are an expert. And I see that happening in so many different disciplines, but it just becomes like second nature to you. You know, you don't have to think about it because you do it every single day. That, you know, so when I'm getting very specific questions, I'm like, oh, that's a great point that people probably don't know that, because it's information that you have to acquire. And over the years, I have already acquired it. So doing an AMA is such a great way to kind of get back in touch with where the blind spots in your offers and in the content that you're making are. So that's why I'm such a huge fan of that. And again, it's such a way to like phone a friend to ask for help with generating new ideas. You can even kind of have a pipeline of doing an AMA. And then if you get some really great questions, then doing a poll and being like, which of these do you want to hear about? The next one is like, do a giveaway. If you are really trying to either celebrate something or meet a goal, you know, if you want to get 30 new reviews, have some kind of a giveaway. And it doesn't have to be a $500 gift card. It can be as simple as like a t-shirt. Some people even do shout outs on the podcast. Like there are so many different offerings that you can have as prizes, but you know, a giveaway always generates excitement, and it can be such a good way to get your current listeners involved and also have them tell their friends. Because while I believe that most of the time people who are going to evangelize your show are just going to do it because that's just how naturally we have conversations. We're like, oh yeah, I've been listening to this podcast and you should definitely check it out. But sometimes I think it's so easy to like forget to do that, that, you know, people get busy. Maybe you haven't talked to some of your girlfriends for a while and it just doesn't come up. And you're like, oh man, we had coffee today and I so meant to tell her about the podcast. But you know, if you were hosting a giveaway, it's like, hey, reminder, like I know this has been on your to-do list. I'm reminding you to go ahead and put that out to your community. Tag a friend, you know, someone who you think would really vibe with the show, whatever that looks like. I'm also a really big fan of like members only spaces. Facebook groups, Discord servers, those are great options. And when I say members only, I can mean Patreon. You know, you can do whatever Patreon tier feels good. And then, you know, within your Patreon onboarding kind of welcome letter have, and you know, when you join the Facebook group, make sure you use the email that you subscribed with, or, you know, make sure that you use the code word potatoes, whatever that looks like to get, you know, the Patreon members only Facebook group. Or even just a Facebook group for your listeners that's more open, but feels exclusive. You know, that it's not paid, but it's kind of a, this is where our inside jokes are. And so if you don't get it, you're not going to get it. That, you know, it feels like a space that is just for the people who love your show. And it's somewhere that they're generating hype, they're inviting their friends. And again, it's, you know, you can be in the comments and it doesn't have to take a lot of your energy. It can just be, oh, you know, let me pop a couple comments in. And it's just a way to kind of become a real person which is so good for strengthening your brand, strengthening the relationships, and just helping your podcast grow in general. And then finally, for audience interaction, I want to talk about live events, whether they're virtual or in person. And this can be as simple as, gosh, I am just on the My Skeptical Sister train tonight because they just do so many things right. But they have a monthly movie night for one of their Patreon tiers. And it's where everyone just hops on to like a Discord call and they watch a movie together. And it's so much fun to just get to hear a little bit extra from the hosts that you love. It could also be an Instagram Live. It could be a Zoom call. Like, it could be anything that makes sense for your niche, but it's just a way to make people feel like they're actually engaging with you in real time. Because, you know, you may be like, well, how's that different than a podcast? It's the fact that, you know, they can be either talking back to you or writing in the chat and having that like direct commentary. You know, I know that we have all experienced when we're driving in the car and a podcaster like asks a kind of hypothetical question and you're like pounding your steering wheel like, oh my God, it's this. And, you know, you want to be able to engage, that having whatever that like live call virtual event is kind of satisfies that. It scratches that itch for your listeners. And of course, in-person events, these are awesome. You can do meet and greets. They take a lot more work, sometimes a lot more fiscal investment, and you know, you have to really prove that you can fill the space. So those are probably the most challenging, but it is such a high risk, high reward. As someone with a theater background, there is no greater high to me than getting off the stage and having people like come up to you and be thrilled with what you've done. It's just such a fun feeling to have people really vibing with your work. And so for podcasting, it's the exact same. The biggest thing for me with audience interaction is just cultivating that sense of community. And I think sometimes that is what gets forgotten about in podcasting, is because it's really isolating and it's really, it's a different set of skills. Like right now, I'm imagining you. Hi, how are you? I'm imagining you. And I'm thinking about what you might be doing. I'm thinking about the dinner that you might be cooking or the laundry you might be folding or the traffic that you're sitting in, but I'm not really with you. And anytime that I get that interaction, it helps me get a clearer picture of who I'm actually talking to. Because the reality is it's me with a sleeping toddler in my lap talking into a microphone. That's really what this is. I may feel like I'm talking to you. You hopefully feel like I'm talking to you. But in reality, I am sound waves coming across your car's Bluetooth. And you are a figment of my imagination in this moment. And so anytime that we can kind of merge dimensions and get a sneak peek into each other's reality helps both the creator and the consumer really get a clear picture of what's going on here. It's so helpful as a creator to really get a clear vision of who is listening. And it's also so fun and so engaging as the listener to feel like you are seen by the creators that you love. Hey, it's Rue. Okay, I know you're enjoying this episode, but I just could not wait any longer to talk to you about this. I have something super special for you called Podcast Paradise. Create content that converts, and it is a 4-day bootcamp designed to transform your podcast into a powerful tool that attracts, engages, and converts your audience. This bootcamp is going to give you a crystal clear roadmap to creating a message that resonates, storytelling and soft selling, deploying your street team, and building a listener's journey that converts. My goal here is to get your podcast working for you instead of the other way around. Oh, and did I mention that it's free? Like free, free? So you literally have nothing to lose. So I am super jazzed. Go ahead and sign up now at bit.ly/podcastparadise. The link is, of course, in the show notes. And let's make a podcast that feels like paradise. All right. I will let you get back to the episode. All right, today's question comes from Samantha, and she says, I've been toying around with the idea of starting a podcast about hidden gems in different cities around the world. My biggest question is about format. I'm torn between making it an interview-style podcast where I talk to locals from each city, or a narrative-style podcast where I share stories and insights from my own travels and research. What do you think is the ideal format for this type of show? I love this question because I very, very, very nearly started a super similar show. When we first moved overseas, I thought about having a podcast, and this was my very first podcast idea. This was before my first show. This was long before Sonivia. This was me being somebody who liked to listen to podcasts, wondering if I could ever make one. And it's because when we were living overseas, we traveled so much. I mean, it was so easy. It was plane tickets to literally a different country were $40. And so every time we had a long weekend, we were like, yeah, let's just, you know, go to London for the weekend, go to Paris for the weekend, take the train somewhere. Like, it's so easy to travel in Europe that, you know, I was like, maybe we should do a podcast about this. And I think I was going to make it like a scary podcast too. I was going to talk because we always do ghost tours when we travel anywhere. And so I was going to talk about, like, you know, the ghostly, haunting, you know, haunted, similar to like haunted places, which was already a podcast at that point. So maybe in hindsight, it's good that I didn't do this one. Anyway, so super near and dear to my heart because I love traveling and I love podcasting. So for travel podcasts, part of what nipped that idea in the bud for me was just not being able to travel enough to have that much content every week. Now, I think that that is where doing at least some interview-based is excellent. That, you know, maybe you could have a series where it's, you know, a four-part episode series on Austin, Texas. And, you know, you can talk about, well, when I went to Austin, Texas, this is the food I ate, this is where I stayed, this is what I did for fun. And, you know, you could build out a couple episodes. You could do one episode on the food, one episode on the nightlife, one episode on Airbnbs. And then you could also have some different conversations with the locals and be like, okay, so I stayed here. Where would you recommend people staying? And so you could turn it into like a 4-6, maybe even 8. 8 feels like a lot. 4-6 episodes on each different location. You could also just do 2 episode series. My perspective, I just came back from this place. Here's what I did. And then the next episode could be an interview with someone who is a local. I think that that would be a lot of fun because at least when I'm traveling, I am a big fan of getting like off the beaten path, figuring out like where people actually spend their time. Because to me, it's almost like traveling is like a sociological thing where I'm like, I just want to see how different people exist. Like, I don't want to feel like an American when I'm in Spain. Like, I want to see how Spaniards are living their lives. And so, yeah, I definitely think that there is value in sharing your own insights, especially if you are like a travel agent or, you know, you're in that space where you're trying to commodify some aspect of the show. But having that first person perspective of someone who actually lives there, I think that that's also incredibly engaging. And as I mentioned, you know, if you're like in the travel space, that there are so many ways to monetize that. You know, you could do Patreon. That's like, you could do a Patreon downloadable every time that you go somewhere. Be like, you know, my top things to do in this city. You could have sponsors from those cities. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on for how you could monetize that. So that is a super, super, super exciting show, Samantha. I hope that you will let me know if you end up starting it and what format it's going to take. So if you have a question for me, you can write me in at ru.sonivia@gmail.com, or you can just slide into my DMs on Instagram. All right, I will be back next week passing the mic to Tanya Ambrose from Tea with Tanya, transforming every aspect. In the meantime, please share this episode with a friend who needs to hear it. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And while you're there, drop me a rating or a review, because just like your show, mine needs those to grow. The conversation keeps going, and I share even more podcasting tips and tricks on Instagram at Sonivia Studios. So head over there And don't forget to snag your spot in Podcast Paradise. I am so freaking jazzed to see you in there. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping me take podcasting up an octave.